Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, welcome back to Total Screamers, episode 7. I'm Simo, I'm joined by Jake. Say hello, Jake.
Hello, guys, welcome back.
Now, Jake, where is that fucking gobby southerner that's normally here as well?
I don't know. I think, to be honest, mate, I think he's vanished off the face of the earth, hasn't he?
Oh, well. There's plenty of other gobby southerners out there we can find.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, football. Football happened last night. Germany got absolutely destroyed by Spain.
It was amazing. You know what? I think destroyed is an understatement, isn't it? I did not in a million years see that one coming. I'll tell you that for free. We ran a poll on Twitter, didn't we, to see if, you know, people thought that it could happen potentially. Would Spain qualify? And 56% of people said no, Spain are not going to beat Germany, and 44% back Spain. But I can guarantee that no one backed a 6-0 win. I'll tell you that for free.
Do you know who didn't see it coming? Most of all, Germany. Germany did not see it coming. And they just could not, I don't think they could not like get to grips that it was actually happening. They just stuck with their system. It just wasn't working at all. And it's not as if Spain were doing anything revolutionary. They were just doing a simple sort of like man marking, high press, high energy sort of game. And they were just using their physicality was far, far superior. Tony Cruz said after the game, Spain taught us a lesson in football today. I won't forget it for the rest of my life.
I'm not surprised. I mean, the thing is, like, the Germans have done that to so many teams, haven't they, over the years? And, like, maybe, like, to have it done to them, I bet they're sat there going, Christ, that's horrible. Like, now we know how they all feel. It's not even like it was a bad Germany team, how either, do you know what I mean? It was like their full-strength side, and they got absolutely battered.
It was their full-strength. Mate, the front three of Timo Werner, Leroy Sané, and Serge Gnabry, that's a fucking tasty front three.
Well, that's everything about it, doesn't it?
But Leroy Sané was absolutely fucking nowhere near it. And I was really, really surprised by that because I've been watching his good form at Bayern. Even though he has a lot of his good performances have came off the bench at Bayern, he's still been really, really good. The thing that I didn't really get with Germany's side is that they decided to play Serge Gnabry through the middle and Timo Werner out on the left-hand side. And it's not as if they were like switching around or anything like you see in a lot of front threes where sometimes, you know, players find themselves, you know, one will be through the middle 1 minute and then, you know, after 10 or 15 minutes will be out in the wing or whatever. They stuck to it rigidly that Leroy Sané was out on the right, Timo was out on the left and Serge was through the middle, which I just didn't get because Timo Werner is now being sort of geared towards being a number nine going through the middle. even though he did play a lot of good football at Leipzig, out on that left-hand side. But Serge Gnabry as well, he never really plays through the middle. He normally plays off the wing. It's because he's normally get, through the middle, you've normally get Lewandowski and then Müller sitting not far behind him in the Bayern side that he plays in. And I've seen Serge out on the left and I've seen him out on the right, and he's effective at both of those things. So I'm not really sure what the thinking was to have him play through the middle. He did look a little bit out-muscled going through the middle, and he did look a little bit out of place, as if he, because a lot of Serge Gnabry's game is cutting inside and just running defenders, essentially. You can't really do that if you're through the middle.
He's so fast as well, isn't he? So he's very suited to being on the wing. I didn't really understand it, especially, you know, Werner's been pretty good for Chelsea as well, up top through the middle. So to see him out on the left and then, like you say, Gnabry in the middle is... And it wasn't like, it, you know, looking at the stats now, Germany had two shots the entire game. I know they hit the bar.
It was Sergio hit the bar and it was a fucking beast of a shot. It's like, cuts on his right foot and just fucking rattles it.
That's what I mean. They had two shots the entire game. They had 30% possession. They had no shots on target. They won two corners. So, you know, that's, for a team that's as good as Germany, that's shocking. But, you know, they were unbeaten this year so far, but obviously that's been well and truly flattened now. You know, do you think that Lowe's in trouble in Germany? Do you think he's in trouble? You know, no. They got knocked out of the World Cup in the group stages. They're ranked 13th in the world. You know, it's not the best time. But I can't see him being in trouble.
Just because it's a Southgate. You can compare it to Southgate, who we've talked about recently in the last podcast. Mm. They have, like, he's in the same position of, he has quite a lot of security, job security, from doing a lot of right things.
Exactly.
But to be honest, unless you're going to get Jurgen Klopp in, you're not really going to get a better manager for the German national side.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean? Other than that, it's bring in fucking Louis Van Gaal.
Bring him back.
Bring him back. And that's probably the only... I can't really think of a manager off the top of my head that probably slotting in that role nicely. It did look like a one-off occasion. Yeah. Germany did switch to like a 5-4-1 near the end of the game, and like, I think it was like 75 minutes in, where they kind of did hold Spain off a little bit better, but still conceded, even though they moved into that defensive shape. But it was very, very clear that after 10-15 minutes, you know, sometimes a team starts really well, and it's like, but it's just a burst of pace, a burst of energy that normally kind of fades out after 15-20 minutes. Spain just didn't have any sort of look that they were going to be giving up any ground. It didn't look as if they were going to give an inch up in this match. And it was quite obvious that Germany either needed another body in defence or another body in midfield, because the front three of Sané, Gnabry and Timo, they were just not tracking back. They were not doing the hard work.
It was very overrun, wasn't it? It was overrun in that sort of area. Carry on, mate. Sorry.
Yeah, the fullbacks looked as if they were just really pinned in, and by the time they were beat, it was just one man at the centre back, and there was quite a lot of it. I mean, just stuff that didn't make sense. I mean, the first goal they concede is a header for Alvaro Morata. He's a striker that he scores a lot of headers. I mean, you know, for me, it's his hair gel. That's what kind of gets him all in the net. But it's quite obvious that that's part of his game. So I don't know why they put Serge Gnabry marking him at the back post. I have no idea why, you know what I mean?
Why he's picking him up. Yeah, exactly.
Because Morata's a good, like, half foot taller than Serge Gnabry. Gnabry's not a defender either, so he's not really...
Yeah, he's not renowned for his heading ability either, is he?
No, exactly. So a lot of Germany's tactics last night just didn't really make sense. I didn't really understand what they're trying to achieve. When I seen the midfield of Gundogan, Toni Kroos, and who was the other midfielder, the third man in midfield?
It was Gundogan, Kroos, and 2 seconds. I'll just get it back up.
Some defensive midfield.
Yeah. It was Goretzka, actually. It was Goretzka.
Goretzka, who's a bit of both. Goretzka's a bit of a box-to-box, but they just looked absolutely nowhere near it. And I looked at the Germany team and I was like, wow, this is a tasty side, this. You know, when you think we're a midfielder of Gundogan, Goretzka and Toni Kroos, you think, well, Gundogan and Goretzka, they're going to get a hold of the ball and Tony's going to make the passes and make the plays. That didn't happen at any point in the game.
Nah.
not once. Goretzka, he left the pitch with a big fucking huff on. You could tell he, because he's an elite level player, Goretzka.
He's really good.
Yeah, you tell he was not happy. Same with Toni Kroos. I mean, you look at the, and Gundogan as well. So, like, you know, I mean, these are three players that play for the top level clubs in their respective leagues. Gundogan is a regular for Man City, Goretzka for Bayern Munich, and Toni Kroos for Real Madrid. That's a top level midfield, and they got absolutely schooled by the front press from Spain. Their pressing for the front was absolutely superb. Gaia, the left back, was amazing for Spain. He really, really stood out for me. And he's attacking and he's a defensive player. He wasn't giving an inch to anybody. Ferran Torres got a hat trick. So deserved. Yeah, so deserved. It just so deserves. And do you know what? It should have been 7-0 because Morata had a goal disallowed that was offside, that was clearly on. So yeah, absolutely. Could have been, honestly, 7, 8 or 9.
That's it. That's the thing, isn't it? It could have been a lot worse for Germany than just the 6. So, you know, yeah, probably can count themselves a bit lucky, really, that it just stayed at 6-0.
Definitely. Ferran Torres looked absolutely amazing.
Yeah, he could be a very big player, couldn't he, for Man City?
I mean, I don't know how much he went to Man City for, but I think it was like 20 million or something.
It was only about 20 million, yeah. It wasn't a lot.
Absolutely ridiculous how they've made that signing. And I've watched him in the Premier League a wee bit as well, if I'm trying to settle in. And obviously, we're not going to see the best of him right away. You very rarely do with footballers. But I think in 6 to 12 months, I could really see him as a regular, a real regular in the Man City side, which is obviously huge. And I could see him getting into the Spanish side a little bit more as well. No David De Gea or Kepa and the goals of the Spanish national team. Not surprising.
Yeah, no. They were both on the bench, weren't they? Which always strikes me as a bit bizarre when you've got two keepers on a bench, but I think that's the way it is now, isn't it, in these international games. Yeah, neither of them started. Neither of them have been, especially Kepa, he's been shocking this season, hasn't he? So he's never going to play. I don't think, no matter how bad De Gea is, Kepa would ever unseat De Gea. But obviously De Gea's now, he's on the bench as well, isn't he? It's that, what is it, Simeone or something like that, who's in goal now?
Unai Simón.
Simón, yeah.
Yeah, he plays for Atletico Bilbao. Yeah. He's in good form. He's commanding and big and strong and decent with his feet. And he looks a really, really good goalkeeper. And credit to Luis Enrique, who was dressed like a fucking tramp last night. Dressed like a fucking tramp.
Yeah, definitely.
Credit to him for playing an informed keeper, because in nations closer to home, we don't really see that with keepers getting played that are in form. Keepers getting picked because they're getting the big name play for. Well, they've got a wee bit of history. Because David De Gea is playing. He's still Manchester United's first pick goalkeeper.
Yeah.
But obviously, Luis Enrique's not seen enough. And for a big game, and it was a big game because Spain had to win it. Even, I think Luis Enrique said before the game, it's win or win. Obviously, they want that winning mentality. They want to go to the National League finals. But yeah, all Spain and Luis Enrique, who's obviously a top level manager, who delivered a very harsh lesson to Germany last night.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. All right, should we move on?
We shall. Should we do a wee break?
Yeah.
All right, we're back and we're talking Balotelli to Barnsley. I love that this story's got legs. I love when we see these things in the news, Jake.
Yeah, do you know what? It's brilliant, isn't it? You just think, like, I seen it on Twitter and I thought, that's got to be a joke, surely. But apparently they've contacted him, haven't they? And said, you know, would you be interested in coming to Barnsley? I've heard that, after doing a bit of research on it, that Watford and apparently Leeds as well are also interested. But I can't see him going to Leeds. Bielsa, I can't see him being happy with that.
Especially the
form that Patrick Bamford's in. Do you know what I mean? He's on fire.
Yeah.
Like, replace him with Balotelli, are you? But yeah, I can't believe it. Balotelli to Barnsley. See, do you reckon it'll happen? I can't see it happening, sure.
I fucking hope so. I can imagine a statue of Balotelli in the middle of Barnsley town centre. I would fucking love it. I don't think I've ever been to Barnsley, but I would go to see Balotelli. That'd be funny. I mean, let's be serious. Where else is he going to go? He's got MLS. He can obviously go to MLS and go Canada
and
China and stuff like that. But really, he really is not in demand. As in, I've not seen him linked to any big clubs.
He's trading in a fourth tier Italian team, isn't he? That's what he's doing at the minute, just to keep his fitness up while he's looking. But like you say, he's not like linked to anyone, is he? Apart from Barnsley, by the sounds of it. But it's seeing that story just got me on a bit of like an interest into like your sort of weirdest football signing. So obviously, I've got a couple here to give out to you. So do you remember Edgar Davids, obviously the incredible player that he was, you know, the Dutch international, Inter Milan, you know, there you go, all these big teams. You thought, you know, he went to Spurs, that was a bit weird. And then, like, just the fact that he was at Barnet. Like, Edgar Davids was the player manager of Barnet. In the
that sounds like a football manager thing. So even like you used to like in the older football managers, you'd obviously find Edgar Davids in. Like
that's what
if
I mean.
You get like, go to like 7 years in the future, and he's like player manager, fucking Barnet.
That's what I mean. You know, you look at it and you think, what? Like what? I remember seeing that, and I was like, oh, he's taking over as manager, and then he was like playing, and it was like he's like player manager. And I'm pretty sure he got sent off as well. So like, it's like, well, what does he do? Do you know what I mean? It's brilliant. A couple of other like just like random ones is Kyle Lafferty to Palermo. Like what? How did he get there? Like, do you know what I mean?
Well, he's 6 foot and he plays Palermo.
Yeah, that's it. Like, you know, he's who else have we got? Some. Stephen Colker, when he went to Liverpool, obviously he was a centre-back, wasn't he? So everyone thought, oh, defensive cover. But
yeah,
the few games that he did play, Klopp actually played him up front, which was... He brought him on, he threw him up front, and he was just like, just had every ball. Brilliant. Like, I love that. And then some other like weird ones that sort of worked out like quite well.
Like Gary McKenzie at Liverpool was a bit of a weird one, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Because he was so old when he signed.
Yeah,
like, it's fucking amazing. If you had never,
like AJ Okocha when he went to Bolton, like it's like bizarre, wasn't it? Because he was at, you know, like PSG and stuff.
Yeah, but have you seen him holding?
He was such a good player.
Have you seen him holding a shot? Like he's holding a shot, mate, and he's like deviled. He's like fucking devastated.
<He's> like, <yeah. laughs> Did I get you? You know, JJ Okocha, he's so good. They named him twice, wasn't he? That was like the standard thing that they said. And you think the teams he played for as well, and you think, how'd you end up? How'd you go to Bolton from PSG? It wasn't like he was at the end of his career either, you know. He's like still had a few years left in him. And you think, how'd you get there? brilliant. I tell you what was an interesting one. This one that I found as well was that Gattuso was at Rangers. I didn't know that. Gennaro Gattuso played for Rangers when he was 19. Yeah. And I've read quite a funny thing that he was greeted by Paul Gascoigne because Gascoigne had shit in his socks. to welcome him to Rangers, Gascoigne had, he took a shit in his socks. And apparently Gattuso wasn't happy, but that would have been something that would have been interesting to look out. It's Gattuso and Gascoigne going at it in the changing room. But
I'd be pretty raging if Gaz had shat in my socks, to be fair.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't say anything to him, though, especially during that time. Do you know what I mean? Oh, he'd have had the life, wouldn't he?
Yeah, right. Have you ever heard the story of when fucking Gaza broke into Alan McCoy's house?
No.
So fucking I was listening to Talksport, and Ali McCoy's telling the story of it when Gaza was at Rangers and Ali was. And he said he was upstairs with his wife and he fucking heard a lot of rustling down the stairs. He's like, fucking hell, someone's broke in. So he gets a golf club out and that. And he walks to the stairs and he sees the fridge open and it's fucking Gaza stood there.
And Ali's in a bevy.
Ali's like, what the fuck are you doing? And I just said, oh, I was fucking hungry and I had nothing in my fridge. So I came over to make a sandwich. So it's like 3 a.m, man.
You know what? Like, 90s Gaza is the best thing in the world. It's like some of the stories that you hear him that you just think, Jesus. But the thing is, what helped him though was he's such a phenomenal footballer, wasn't he? Like, and he got away with it because of how good he was. But you just think like some of the stories that people say about him, and he's just like, oh, I don't even know. And you think, Christ, like, how did he get away with going out all week and then turning up on a Saturday and just absolutely being the best player on the pitch wherever he was? It's mental. Like, absolutely mental.
But that's the thing. People often ask, like, how good he would have been if he didn't do all that fucking mental shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Crazy to think about. Crazy to think about.
Yeah, it really was. Like you say, how good could he have been? You know, he could have been that elite level sort of spoken about in the same as sort of like Maradona and that sort of level of player, because he was that good. But sadly, his personal life just sort of let him down, didn't it? But you know, he's a hell of a player, really, really good.
Been a lot of players like that over the years. Like George Best said, I gave up the women, the drink, and the cars for about 15 minutes. Like, yeah, it was the first 15 minutes of my life.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He's another one, isn't he? Like, and Maradona though, he was the same. He was probably the greatest of all time, isn't he? And then sadly it just sort of all fell apart and it went a bit wrong, but what a player. Like you say, George Best again, what a player. Yeah. Gazza, exactly the same.
Nothing quite warms a heart like a picture of old Maradona on cocaine.
Yeah,
it's
like Napoli, isn't it? He's just like stood there and his eyes are like proper wide, but then he'll go and he just bosses the game for 90 minutes and you think, oh my god, he's so good. Like the Napoli, do you know what, like the Napoli manager and that were probably sat there and they were like, we need to do something about this, but then, you know, he does a line and he bosses the game and they think, do you know what, just give him another one. He's brilliant. He was quality. Like you say though, it's just a shame that a lot of these players sort of ruined their legacy a little bit, didn't they, with their actions off the pitch.
It's very, very doubtful we'll ever see anything like that again. With players that are absolutely mental off the pitch, because obviously the commitment to fitness and well-being it takes to be a footballer in this day and age is absolutely insane, the way the modern game's going. We'll probably ever see it again, so all we can do is look back.
Definitely.
Right, buddy, that looks like we're just about done. Have you got, is it nominations for Screaming of the Week?
Screaming of the Week, yeah. So I've got, 2 seconds, let me just get it up. But I've got my nominations. It's a little bit of like a mix. So it was, so we had Alexander Mitrovic, obviously, for his shocking penalty that saw the magical Scotland qualify. Got Gareth Southgate for just a turgid England performance. And then we have got VAR, just because it's VAR.
Yeah, it's there every week. Look on Twitter page for the poll. Give us your votes. It was a lot of fun last week to get it in. Also, we are still doing a giveaway. That's not completely done. So go on to the Total Screamers Twitter page and go on, retweet and do whatever you need to do. The guide's on the post, but you run a free Feller Batchy shirt. That's actually quite nice. I wish we could enter the competition, but that would be slightly immoral. But that's going to do us for this week. Thank you very much for joining me, Jake.
Thank you very much, mate. I'll catch you on Friday, I believe.
Friday it is. Thanks very much, Tim, for not turning up.
Cheers, Tim.
Cheers for that.
cheers for chilling us off again.
We shall see you on Friday.
Podcast Network.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.